sound so soulful, don't you agree?
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Aziz Ansari will be at the Palace in Albany, New York on Tuesday, May 14th at 8 p.m. as part of this leg of his Buried Alive tour. This tour will result in his third hour-long stand-up special, the previous two being Aziz Ansari, Intimate Moments for a Sensual Evening, and Dangerously Delicious.
I like touring. The only thing I don't like is the actual travel itself, because people can be so rude when you're traveling. The rudest person I've ever met in my entire life is the Eastern European customs lady at the Toronto airport. What's that lady's problem? Why she gotta be so rude? Customs people are the first people you meet when you go to a new country. They should be nice, welcoming. This lady, as soon as you walk up, she just goes, "What you are doing here?" And I was like, "I'm shooting a movie." She goes, "What did it mean, shooting movie?" It's like, you know, like filming a movie. She goes, "I know what it means, filming movie. I mean, are you doing the lights? Are you acting? Are you directing? I could do without your sarcasm." I was like, "Why are you being so mean? I said something, and you went, 'What did it mean, shooting movie?'" So I just assume you're kind of dumb, and I'm trying to explain things to you. I'm stunned you know what the word sarcasm means. Your English is slightly better than Animal from the Muppet Babies. And you're yelling at me like a psychopath. And I got my stamp and I walked on. But I kind of wish after I gotten the stamp, I turned around. And I was like, "Guess what? I lied." And then pulled out a DVD of Jurassic Park and a handgun. Was like, "This is what it means, shooting movie. Bang, 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 bang."
In 2005, Rolling Stone named Aziz Ansari their choice for hot stand-up on their annual hot list. And he was also awarded the Jury Award for Best Stand-Up at the U.S. Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen in 2006. Aziz is also an actor. He currently co-stars as Tom Haverford on the NBC comedy Parks and Recreation. Previous television credits include HBO's Flight of the Conchords, Scrubs, and the MTV sketch comedy show Human Giant. His film credits include Observe and Report, Funny People, and 30 Minutes or Less. I spoke with him last week prior to this past weekend's food truck festival in Troy, which I mention for reasons that will become evident during the interview. Aziz Ansari, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's do a sort of quick life timeline for listeners who aren't familiar with you. You grew up in South Carolina. When did you start paying attention to comedy?
When I was in college, I was going to school at NYU. I started doing stand-up in New York City.
And you have to be in Los Angeles a lot now to film Parks and Rec. And I've heard that you don't like L.A. as much as New York. Are you getting more accustomed to enjoying California?
You know what? I used to not like L.A., but I just kind of realized you just kind of have to come at it at a totally different approach than New York, you know? L.A., you have more room, you can have, like, a big kitchen, and I got really into, like, cooking, and I moved to a place with a pool, and so I got really into swimming and stuff, so mm-hmm. I kind of tried to cherish L.A. for the things that make L.A. L.A., and I enjoyed it a lot more, so I like L.A., and I never hated it, but I used to, every time I had a little bit of come up, I would just, like, dart to New York as fast as possible, but now I enjoy L.A. as well. I like them both.
Is the food better on one of the coasts?
I don't know. In New York, I feel like every time I go back, there's like 10 new restaurants that are supposed to be amazing that I have to try or whatever. But in L.A., there's so much great food, too. Like, I love, like, the ethnic food. And, like, obviously, the Mexican food is really great. The tacos and whatnot are really great in L.A. But they're both very good food scenes. But, yeah, I mean, New York in general is just, like, a very alive city. And there's always new stuff, exciting things happening and new restaurants and all these things that are constantly happening. So I give the edge to New York in that regard.
And this whole interview won't be about food, but I want to ask you one more thing.
Okay.
We're having a food truck festival in Troy, New York, and I don't have a lot of experience with food trucks, but I am going, and I'm super psyched. And I wanted to know if, in your experience, there were particular kinds of foods that are better from trucks than other kinds of foods.
I don't know. I feel like tacos are usually, those are originally the foods that were in the trucks. You know, in L.A., there's these food trucks that have been there forever with tacos, so I would trust tacos myself.
Great. Thank you.
I would trust tacos. Like, I would say the more heavily they advertise their Twitter and Tumblr and stuff, the less likely the food is to be tasty. You want to go to the truck that has, like, nothing on it. Because now I feel like there's just, like, trucks where it's like, "Oh, we have a Twitter page. Oh, we have a Tumblr page." And then it's like, all right, well, the food is, like, not that great. What is all this fuss about? But then you look at, like, you know, these older, like, taco trucks, and they're so good, and they don't care about that stuff.
That's a good tip. Thank you very much. So how do you develop your stand-up? Where do the ideas for your bits come from, and how do you work on them?
you know, I'll just, I just write about things that are happening in my life. So, you know, in the tour that I'm doing now, the Buried Alive tour, a lot of it's about how, you know, I have friends that are settling down and having babies and getting married and things like that. And, you know, I'll just start with an idea, like, maybe like the German idea would be like, oh, it's really getting kind of annoying getting all these baby pictures emailed to you whenever people's babies are born. And so I'll start talking about that. And then I'll be like, oh, that resonates. People do find that annoying as well and find it kind of weird sometimes. And it'll take, you know, maybe 20, 30 iterations to find the one that works really well. And that'll just be a process of writing and refining. And I'll go into small clubs in New York and L.A. to work on stuff. And then, you know, when I have like about an hour of material that I've developed in that way, I'll put together a tour and then go tour it. And, you know, as I tour it, it will get better and better as a cohesive hour. And then, you know, eventually I'll record it, film a special. And, you know, once I put that out, I don't really do that material anymore because people would have heard it as a special, theoretically. And so right now I just filmed one like a couple weeks ago in Philadelphia, and I'm editing that. And then and I've been slowly putting together the next tour. Which has been fun.
So the show you're doing in Albany, is it still Buried Alive, or are you doing new stuff?
I'm going to do the Buried Alive tour because I haven't done it in Albany.
Cool,
so,
yeah.
I'm going to do that one. But I may even an encore or something. I'll do some of the newer stuff I've been working on. I haven't decided yet.
You are a stand-up comedian, and you did Human Giant, which is an MTV sketch show, and then you've also done sitcoms. How is the approach different between like the sketch show like Human Giant and then doing a more straightforward, although still very innovative, of course, sitcom like Parks and Rec?
Oh, man, it's so different that I couldn't even begin to compare. You know, Parks and Rec, you're playing this one character who's evolved over many, many, many episodes. And in a sketch show, you're doing these little quick bits of characters that you may only play for, like, you know, 2 minutes or something. And the goals are way different, you know. And in sketch, I think it's less emphasis on trying to tell a big overarching story. So, you know, you're really trying to set up a really funny premise and hit it with, like, a few really hard jokes and then get out, you know? With a TV show, it's a much different narrative. And, yeah, they're just so different. It's hard to compare. But I enjoy doing both. And, that's why I've done both.
I know that you likely get this question fairly often. It's sort of a pat kind of interview question. But how much input do you have into the development of Tom Haverford, your character on Parks and Recreation?
We definitely have conversations here and there, but generally the producers and the writers kind of guide the characters along, and you know, they've done good by us so far. So you know, occasionally we'll chime in with an idea or something, but generally what you see is molded by the writers and producers.
Do you have a favorite arc that you've done on Parks and Rec so far, or favorite characters you like to act opposite of?
In Parks, whenever we did the Entertainment 720 storyline, that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was when my character opens up this ridiculous business with another character, John Ralphio, played by Ben Schwartz. And it's never really clear what we do, but we spent a ton of money on our offices and everything and just immediately go bankrupt. That was really fun. This season, I had a lot of fun with this woman, Jenny Slate, plays John Ralphio's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a story arc where we were dating and stuff, and she was so funny. It was really fun to work with her. She really made me laugh. And, those are two Parks ones that stand out for sure.
You and I share an interest in purchasing music on vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering how, when you first got into it, how you discovered that you wanted to invest in that old technology. But, it's the best, obviously.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I got into, like, DJing a little bit. Like scratch DJing, you know, where you just, like, make noises with the record.
Right.
And for some reason, I got really into this. And I started buying vinyl with that. And then as I got older, I just started, you know, I still had like a good records player from the DJing days, Technics 1200. So I just had that at home. And so I, just started kept buying records. And then, you know, when I try, like right now, I don't really have a permanent home. I kind of go back and forth between New York and LA a lot. So I sublet a place in New York and I sublet a place in LA. And when I have my stuff in New York, I just kind of have like my clothes. When I go to New York for a long time, I just kind of just try to take my bare minimum amount of clothes and you know. But I have like one of those kind of suitcase record players, and I always grab like a handful of records, and it's just nice. I don't know. There's something I really can't explain why records are so much more cool, but they're just nice to have. It's just, I don't know. Also, it's like, you know, now when you listen to music, it's so like frenetic. You just kind of keep going from, like, off and on, like, jumping around like crazy. It's kind of nice to just, like, put on an album and let it flow, especially, like, older albums where, you know, I don't know, nowadays sometimes I think, you know, some of the records people don't put as much thought into an album. Obviously, there's still a lot of people that do, but, you know, it's cool to just put on, like, I was listening to Off the Wall, my first, the Michael Jackson album, Off the Wall, mm-hmm. and it's just cool to just, like, put that on, just, like, you know, you're not, like, jumping around, like, looking on your iPod or the next song, but just, like, letting something like that play that you know is, like, a classic record, you know? I enjoy it.
Yeah, no, me too, totally. I have an app that sends me pop-up notifications when I'm traveling if I'm near a used vinyl store. And I, like, try to make time. I mean, I didn't
forget that.
Yeah, it's, what is it called? Let's see.
That's cool, yeah, because I travel so much for touring, yeah, but there's some great record stores I could check out.
I was in Denver last summer, and hanging out with this guy, and he was like driving around and not telling me where we were going, and I was getting super certain that it was going to be something lame, and then it was a used record store, and I was like, oh, I need to reassess.
Find any gems?
I picked up a Carmen McRae record.
Oh, okay. I don't know her.
It's a sort of American songbook, really, really killer voice. When you come to Albany, are you going to have time to, jumping back to food, are you going to have time to eat somewhere here?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I might have to dart back to New York, but is there anywhere I should try while I'm there?
If you have time, there is a restaurant called...
Well, I'm not going to check it out now because anyone listening will know to show up there if they want to murder me. So
you're right.
You should give me a decoy restaurant, and then when the interview was over, be like, okay, here's the place you should go, Aziz. That'll be the decoy restaurant, the one you just said. No, here's the real one.
I'll just cut that out. Actually, you know what? Okay. I promise you I will. You have the recommendation, but nobody else will know I told you. All right. Thank you so much. I first saw you on Flight of the Conchords, and I was like, "Who the heck is this guy?" And then followed since, and I'm a big fan. So I'm excited to see you
thanks.
In the city where I live, and very excited to have spoken to you today.
Nice. Thank you so much. Well, I'll see you in Albany.
All right.
Take care.
Aziz Ansari will be at the Palace Theater in Albany, New York on Tuesday, May 14th. For ticket information, visit palacealbany.com or call 518-465-3334. You can get updates about / from Aziz on his blog, azizisbored.tumblr.com. azizisbored.tumblr.com.
One thing that scares me about, like, Craigslist and stuff is, like, people go on there and they find random roommates. That's a terrifying proposition to me. Like, the one time I had a random roommate, it did not go well. Like, I would come in the room and it always smelled like tuna. And I'd be like, whoa, not my top 5 smells for the room to have. Why does it always smell like tuna? And it's because this guy likes to eat cans of Starkist tuna all the time. And you know when the juice is there at the bottom when you're finished? He'd shoot the juice back like a tequila shot. Yes, I agree. It's disgusting. If you'd approach me on the street, like, hey, Aziz, what's the most disgusting thing you can catch a new roommate doing? I'd be like, drinking the tuna juice at the bottom of a Starkist tuna can. He'd be like, man, that's a really specific answer. There's other things, like, he played the flute all the time. Nothing wrong with playing the flute. But he'd only play one song on the flute. Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On, the theme song to Titanic. If you'd approach me on the street, like, hey, Aziz, what's the most annoying song a dude could play on the flute all the time? I'd be like, Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On, the theme song to Titanic. And you'd be like, damn, you're really good at this game. But the craziest thing was towards the end of our time together, he was acting really weird. And I don't know what's going on. So I asked a friend of his, I was like, hey, man, what's up with this guy? And he goes, oh, he thinks he's possessed by Scar, the evil lion from the Lion King movies. Oh, yes, that happened, sure. If you'd approach me on the street, like, hey, Zeke, what's the most random Disney villain a kid could think he's possessed by? I'd be like, Scar, the evil lion from the Lion King movies. And you'd be like, sorry, it's actually the hockey team from Iceland and the Mighty Ducks, too.
I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.